I will now entertain questions, or the questions will entertain me. We'll see. Yes.
I was wondering about Lenny Coggins' possible connection with also with the CIA and so on and so forth. And if he doesn't have them, how could he have lived four years in office? And what kind of impact could he have with the government?
Repeat the question.
The question is what links does Michael Dukakis have with the CIA? Yes. I don't have any information about that, but I would say that it takes $100 million to run a campaign for president. So we're not going to find anybody running for president who isn't part of the power elite or deeply in hock to the power elite. All through the campaign, people were complaining, why doesn't Dukakis bring up? Why doesn't he make an issue out of Bush's links to the CIA and the death squads and the cocaine business and so on? And the only answer I can imagine to that question, well, there are two possible answers. A, Dukakis is an idiot. And since he taught law at Harvard for 7 years, I doubt very much that he's an idiot. And the only other answer is that he and Bush drew up some ground rules in advance, which were Dukakis agreed he wouldn't talk about certain aspects of Bush's career and Bush wouldn't talk about certain aspects of Dukakis's career. I can't imagine what that is that Bush didn't talk about, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if it links back to the CIA. Yes?
In light of that question, would you comment on the fact that George Bush was a member of the secret society Skull and Bones during his senior year at Yale?
Yeah, Skull and Bones is very mysterious. Their crest has 23 on it backwards. It says 32. Some claim that's because it was founded in 1832, but I think they did it to give me a backwards 23 and confuse me. William Buckley is a member of Skull and Bones, too, which makes for an interesting, strange loop, because Skull and Bones seems to have a lot of Masonic traditions, and yet Buckley is a member of the Knights of Malta. Timothy Leary made one of the most intelligent comments on Illuminatus I ever heard. He said, what you show is that there are 24 conspiracies on whatever level you look. And Tim said, I discovered that when I was in Folsom. I realized that in Folsom there were 24 different gangs fighting over the turf, who was going to control the prison yard. And then I realized it was the same 24 gangs I saw fighting over who was going to run Harvard, except the ones in Harvard spoke better English. And many years later, I met the former district attorney of Santa Barbara, who had also read Illuminatus. The damnedest people read my books. And he said to me, you know, every town in the country has at least as many conspiracies as there are in Illuminatus. No, I forget his name. He was a former DA of Santa Barbara. I met him at Esalen. And he said, every town has at least 24 conspiracies fighting over who's going to run the town. And I think that's probably very true. Every town I know anything about is like that. By the way, the art world is run that way. Everybody conspires to promote their own gang. The National Lampoon did a parody once of the New York Review of Books. It was called the New York Review of Us. And it was Norman Mailer reviewing Susan Sontag, and Susan Sontag reviewing Norman Mailer, and Gore Vidal reviewing Noam Chomsky, and Noam Chomsky reviewing Gore Vidal, and so on and so on. And California, West Coast writers, we've had to start our own conspiracy to promote one another, because the New York gang doesn't want to let us in. They want to control the turf. And the marijuana world runs that way. Everybody's fighting over who's going to take over the marijuana business. In Los Angeles, you've got about 8 different gangs fighting over who's going to run the crack business in South Central L.A. No matter where you look, you always find people work through affinity groups, and affinity groups tend to hide things from one another. By and large, we tend to think, my gang is just an affinity group. The other gang over there is a goddamn dirty conspiracy.
First of all, do you still gravitate toward critique and journal questions? And second, could you comment on Anthony Sutton has written about the Skull and Bones, and has suggested, among a number of other conspiracy writers, such as Jerry Allen and so on, that there is a single conspiracy that can trace its roots back to the Illuminati. Earlier, some people suggested that there is a single monolithic conspiracy that can be traced back to Atlanta.
Well, actually, I already did that in Illuminatus. I traced it all back to Atlantis. I could trace it back to Lemuria if I was so inclined. But I don't believe in any monolithic conspiracy theory because it violates the basic principles of primate psychology. There is nothing that domesticated primates like better than the double cross. Every conspiracy falls apart because the members of it are betraying one another. There's considerable evidence that's how P2 fell apart. Conspiracies, I think, have a natural lifespan, just like people. Corporations have a natural lifespan. There's no corporation in the world that existed at the time of the first Queen Elizabeth, except the Dutch East India Company. Most corporations die in 100 years or so. Conspiracies seldom last more than a few years. The one big overriding conspiracy is a construct of minds that are very good at twisting facts to fit their own preconceptions.
One of the main functions of propaganda defined as the instilled self-justifying ideology of the ruling elite, one of the main functions of propaganda is to convince the public of the inevitability of the ruling elite's power structure. Could you talk a little bit about an idea I've heard attributed to you called Operation Mindfuck? It sounds like a counter-propaganda technique similar to H.G. Wells' radio hoax.
Operation Mindfuck is a form of guerrilla ontology. It's a group effort involving many people, and it is an attempt to galvanize the minds of many readers and television viewers and moviegoers to suddenly see the world in a new way. And membership in Operation Mindfuck is not secret. It's just once you understand what Operation Mindfuck is, if you are a writer or a director or otherwise involved in the entertainment, literature, theater game, you just automatically become a member if you're sympathetic to it, and Operation Mindfuck rolls merrily along. And since it is no centralized conspiracy, nobody can ever stop it because there's nobody giving the orders. It's the only purely anarchist movement in the arts today. And it's very easy to recognize the members. You'll find 23s popping up in their works. You'll find references to the oncoming Yin Revolution, the Aquarian Conspiracy, space travel, and there's an old Italian proverb: when four sit down to conspire, three of them are fools, and the fourth is a government agent. And so I believe with modern surveillance techniques, that's more true than ever. And any overt action against the power structure is doomed to failure because of the techniques of control that have been developed. But the anarchistic impulses of art cannot be governed. And I think more and more of the culture shapers are becoming part of Operation Mindfuck, and the whole world is having its mind fucked. And I'm very happy that I can play a humble part in this noble endeavor. I don't think George Bush ever ducked the central issue of the question more cleverly than that. And get the latest reality hackers and learn more about computer viruses. Next question.
About him.
I have anything to say about Phil Donahue. I wish I had a head of hair like his. Next question.
What's your name of the woman that's writing about the Catholic Church?
What's that?
What's the name of the woman who's been the journalist who's been doing the writing about the Vatican?
Oh, about the Vatican Bank? Penny Lernoux. Lernoux. And she appears regularly in the National Catholic Reporter. Her principal book on this subject, she's written a book about the CIA in Central America, but her principal book on the Vatican Bank and its relation to the Chase Manhattan and more respectable institutions is in Banks We Trust, which is published by Doubleday. Next, yes?
Yeah. Considering that we're in cosmic fire, earth, air, and or water gates, and that all realities are being synchronized, that more people are getting, really, that there is a bigger conspiracy, that, have you heard of the meetings called Planetary Whodunits, starring everybody, free of imagination? And how would you belatedly answer the question, the greatest debate, are we civilized, comma, who wants to be earthlings, dot, 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 and why already? And also, how do you feel this relates to the second becoming of consciousness through, say, the Christ principle and Jesus Christ? What's happening on the planet now? Do you see any relations in that regard?
Well, because one of its legs is both the same. The next question. Yes?
Would you comment on Olaf Palma's assassination?
Wow, that was a comment.
Who?
Olaf Palma?
Yeah.
Swedish Prime Minister.
Prime Minister of Sweden.
No? No, I'm not at liberty to speak about that tonight.
The main reason I'm not at liberty to speak about it is because I don't know a fucking thing about it. It's my religion to talk about things I don't understand. know anything about.
Subliminal messages in neurolinguistic programs about the mass media.
Subliminal messages in the mass media. I they're less and less subliminal. They're getting more and more liminal all the time, it seems to me. The way to find out what's going on, the kind of programming that's going on, is a game I invented a long time ago called Bavarian Television. This is based on the old Bavarian fire drill. The Bavarian fire drill is when you come to a red light, you jump out of your car, run to the car behind you, bang on the hood and say, "Everybody out, Bavarian fire drill." And run to the car behind that and yell, "Everybody out, Bavarian fire drill." And after you got back to about the 10th car, you flip around and run back to the front again. And most of them are following you at this point. You get into your car, the light changes, and you drive off. Like having taught them a lesson in obedience and idiocy and how easily people are manipulated, I decided Bavarian television would be even more fun than a Bavarian fire drill. And Bavarian television is you turn the set on and you keep changing the dial continually. And you don't get white noise. You get bits of dialogue and flashes of image, and you begin to see what the main message is and what the main ideas are that they are pushing. And it's enough to make you hide under the bed for a couple of weeks, but when you come out, you decide that you're not going to turn that damn machine on except very carefully and selectively in the future, because the main messages that come across are that everything ultimately is solved by somebody shooting somebody else, and that you need drugs. You need more and more drugs. You need drugs to do your income tax. If you're a woman, you need drugs to do the housewife. You need drugs to deal with the children. You need drugs to deal with your boss. But you got to use the drugs they're selling on that channel. If you use any other drugs, your brain will turn into a fried egg.
Baker and Merrill Lynch, E.F. Hutton, Don Regan connection to Mehmet Ali Agha. I heard that payments were made through Merrill Lynch. Do you know anything about that? Mehmet Ali Agha?
No. Mehmet Ali Agha is a very interesting case because he originally announced that he acted on his own initiative all by himself. And after a year in prison, he announced that he was hired by the Bulgarian secret police. And they had a second trial, and at the second trial, he acted like a lunatic. And there are several possible interpretations. One is that he was paid off to blow the case and started acting like a lunatic. The other is that he was crazy all along and it just became more obvious. The Italian court threw out the case against the Bulgarians on the grounds of insufficient evidence. It was not exactly a not guilty verdict in the American sense. It's closer to not proven in the Scotch sense, which means we suspect a lot, but not enough to lock anybody up yet. Reading the testimony, I saw that the one thing is very clear. Mehmet Ali Aga knew a great deal about the Bulgarian embassy, who worked there, their private lives, what their wives were called, what kind of paintings they had in their houses. And there are only two possible explanations of that. One is that he was working for them very intimately, and the other explanation is the CIA gave him all the information because they hired him to frame the Bulgarians. And I don't know which of those interpretations is more likely. So we'll just have to await further developments in that case, and we may wait a long time.
You mentioned earlier that the American Catholic Church is tending away from the Vatican. How do you see that manifesting? What import might that such a thing have, and how is that relevant to the priest in the open, Matt Fox, who's silenced by the Vatican recently for weird goings on?
Well, there are more and more people being hauled back to the Vatican, to the Holy Office, for the doctrine of the faith and disciplined in various ways. There is a big unhappiness and restlessness among Catholics, not only in this country, but in Latin America. Archbishop Romeros was shot by some of the people who worked for the CIA, and then the Pope went right to that area and gave a speech saying priests should stay out of politics. In the Mafia, that's known as letting them know where it came from. And American Catholics are more and more doing things like sheltering refugees from Haiti and announcing publicly, priests and bishops announcing publicly, we don't disapprove of birth control, we don't think it's against the Bible. And so we are headed for some sort of major collision. Lefebvre has finally been thrown out after going around for 30 years saying the Vatican has been taken over by Satanists and Freemasons. What? Archbishop Lefebvre in France. There was a big mystery. How was he getting away with it? Well, the mystery is over. He's not getting away with it anymore. They officially excommunicated him. That took a large hunk out of the church in France and in parts of America and other parts of Europe. But I think there's a much bigger breach coming than that one.
You make the point in the most prometheus writing that about something about how you think of how what the issue you are conservative on could be irrelevant in the future, and how the issue, like how a radical position could be conservative. Could you apply that to the what you've been talking about vis-a-vis the Catholic Church?
Yeah. I think this has been a very conservative evening. This has been a very conservative talk. I have to do something different occasionally just to keep myself from getting bored. And so I decided to rake up some dirt about some of the conspiracies that are going on. I think they're all fundamentally irrelevant because the world is changing so rapidly that none of the clandestine power groups really know what's going on. My basic philosophy about the state of the world is contained in Lenin's alleged last words. I don't know if they're his actual last words, but it's been widely printed as his last words. The machine is running the engineers. I think modern science and technology are changing the parameters of human life so rapidly that everything the conspirators are fighting over is basically irrelevant. We will all be going into space much sooner than we expect. The boldest, the brightest, the bravest, the sexiest, and the funniest are all going to be living in outer space within the next 20 years. Longevity is coming along, which will make the Vatican's position on birth control even more ridiculous. There are new brain machines that very definitely increase mental activity and probably raise IQ. These machines are leading to further research. New machines will be along in the next 5 years that can change your brain any way you want to change. We're no longer trapped in... Historically, humanity has been trapped in the cage of the behaviorist paradigm. What the behaviorists say about us has all too often been unfortunately true. We are very much like the rats in their laboratories. We react to conditioned stimuli in mechanically conditioned ways. And changing this has been a very long, arduous, and difficult process, especially since most people don't even know they need to be changed or don't even want to be changed. With modern neuroscience advancing the way it is, everybody can reprogram their brain as easily as we reprogram our computers, and more people are learning how to do this. We're all becoming self-programmers or meta-programmers, and that's changing everything that's been true in previous history, just like the Wright brothers changed everything. Once we could fly, everything changed. And now that we're learning how to fly our own brains, everything is changing again.